continuing our conversation this morning, Talking Trees. We do it the second Saturday of every month, and we've got Sarah Maitland, ISA Certified Arborist with Save a Tree, and Dave Jernigan of the Garden Touch in studio with us. And Dave, as we were going to break, you were talking about you don't need nitrogen when you're overseeding your lawn at the beginning, but once the plant starts to grow, then you do want that nitrogen. So is this a second fertilizer application? Is it...
Oh, it's multiples, because once the grass, even the ryegrass, once it gets cold, it's not taking up anything from the soil. So you need to have that the nutrients stored up inside the plant. So you basically have to get 3 actual pounds of nitrogen into the plant or into the ground before Thanksgiving, and that's a good cutoff, because that's typically when it starts to get colder and they don't take up the nitrogen as well. And what you'll see if you don't do that is late December and January, the grass turns yellow and you're putting down your fertilizer, doing everything you can, you can't get it to green up. Well, the reason why is because you didn't get enough nitrogen in the ground to begin with. So what we do is every week after, so we seed, we let it come up, that'll take a week. This following week, we'll start putting down nitrogen at the rate of about 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet of the product. Now, it's not 5 actual pounds of nitrogen, it's just 5 pounds of product. And we'll use 2100 typically. And if you get some with iron, that's good too. But we'll do that every week. And when it's cool, it works out great. If we have a summer or a fall like last year, you end up baling hay and the customer's going, "What are you doing? My grass is growing like mad." But the fact is that come January, December, January, and everybody else's grass looks looking kind of sketchy, yours looks great. I've had other contractors say, "How do you get your grass so green? Where did you get your seed?" It's like, it's not the seed, it's the fertilization.
And Sarah, you had one mentioned during the break, you want to talk a little bit more about plant growth regulators.
Correct. And I know Dave was talking about one that he uses. We talked about it during the break for turf. And basically, it slows the growth of the plant and redirects the energy down into the roots. It's not a chemical. All the plant growth regulators are naturally occurring. We just increase them. When you go to spray olives to prevent them from having olives or to stop fruit production, it's a different growth regulator, but you're increasing the obsidic acid in the plant and causing it to drop its blooms. With turf, we're just slowing it. And we use plant growth regulators a lot on trees that are hurting. And it's not new science, but it's paclobutrazol is that particular plant growth regulator that kind of redirects the energy of the tree down into the roots and slows the vegetative state. And so we get a lot of help with trees that are really hurting and trying to recover using those products. But they're perfectly safe. They're naturally occurring.
One more question that I have before we wrap up our overseeding conversation and get on to some of our other talking points is, when do you need a seed cover for your winter rye?
We typically do it so it doesn't matter how good you are or how perfect you put it down, you're almost always going to have a spot here or there. So we like to use that. We'll start putting it on the trucks a week or two after. If an area you have to spot seed, we'll put that down, because you don't want to water the whole lawn to accommodate, you know, a 3x5 patch of grass that didn't come in like you'd like. So it's nice to hold the moisture, and it's dark in color, so it also holds the heat in better. So if you get later in the season and it's kind of cold, I guess if you want to put it down to hold the moisture in so you can use less water, you can do that. It's kind of a judgment call, I guess, on you know, because the product costs money and the labor to put it out costs money. So it's like, do I spend the money on water? Do I spend the money on this or that? But it certainly looks nice. And the nutrient value, I mean, it does have some nutrient value. And it also shows off a little bit better, because when that rye pops through, you've got that nice light green color contrasting against the dark topper, which is a nice look. So in general, we don't put it on at the beginning, and we'll do spot top dress. But I do need to say, I work with a a property management guy that's an old Okie, and he used to be in the golf course business, and he swears by peat moss. And so he'll get a pallet of peat moss, and, you know, it comes in these cubes, and it's really hard. And he will run over it with a truck and smash it down, and he'll use that as the topper. And it really does, you know, it brings the pH down. And our pH is so high in our water and in our soil, so it's definitely a plus. We put peat in our flower bed mixes. But he uses that, and he swears by it. And I got to admit, his grass always does look good. So that's another one you can use. But typically the topper or the soil amendment, they call it, it's just more, it's
steer manure.
Well, that's another one.
Yeah, it's another one. And doesn't smell as good.
Yeah, and after you have to take up a yard and a half of it, because even though it is deodorized steer manure, if a client tells you that smells, and you're out there raking up the finest particles with a blower, not much fun. So I don't really use that much anymore.
Well, I did that, and then the Hickmans, I used that chicken manure,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good product, but yeah. I always put it down before I leave to go camping.
Oh, see, I always mix it in. We have a weird potting soil mix for our flowers. We'll use alfalfa pellets, we'll use Hickmans, and we use peat, and then we follow up with the Monterey Complete Disease Control after we plant. So, because those nutrients really get that soil active. I mean, it's really cooking when you do that. So,
and if you're just joining us, the big takeaway you might have missed for winter lawns is if you can find seed, you'll be lucky. So if you haven't already got your seed, or if you have it done professionally every year, you might want to talk to your company that's providing that to you, make sure they've got seed for your property, because you may just by default not ending up with winter rye lawn,
and
just because of shortages right
now. And if you do get it, the price is double.
And a 50-pound bag seems like $100. So you're looking at $200 for a 50-pound bag?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on the retail end, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I was driving with a pallet. I'm looking at my back of my truck. It's like, I have $5,000 in the back of my truck.
Of seed.
Of seed. It's like I was afraid to stop. I pulled up today at Circle K, and I was starting to get down. There's another landscaper. It's like, is he going to take the seed out of my truck? And I can't lock the bed.
Like seed wars.
Sitting there, the black market seed.
Well, I'm not going to overseed. I'm going to let mine rest this year. So get to my roots. But I might go get the plant growth regulator we talked about. I didn't think about it. I bought some to put on some trees to slow the growth, some mesquites I have, but I've not tried it on grass. So.
Yeah. Have you had any luck? I know a couple of years ago you were experimenting with it on mesquites to stop the bean production. Has any more been done on that?
We use Floral. We spray with Floral, which is also a plant growth regulator, when the mesquites are blooming. Two applications, because they kind of bloom at the top before they bloom at the bottom. And I experimented on my tree and went from like 8 big black garbage bags to 3 little white ones.
Oh, nice.
And any of you who pick up mesquite beans all day long know that that's a huge thing. And then you'll even get a residual the second year on pod production. And it's real successful if it's applied with the right timing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So when we have 50 properties doing it, we have to rely on the client to call and say, it's blooming, I hear the bees. And that's what I tell them, listen for the bees.
That's great. You know, I do, when I prepare a bid, I do a budget, a yearly budget. And they're like, why is it so much in May and why is it so much in June? I said, because in May you got Palo Verde blooms all over the ground. It takes forever to clean them up. And in June you got the mesquite pods all over the ground. And we'll pick them up and we'll be ready to pull away. And there's already more dropping. So anything you can do to stop that.
Yeah, spray the Floral. And it defoliates them a little bit. It's not this time of year topic, but it defoliates them. You'll get a green carpet, but they leave right back out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about other applications you've got on your talking points, fertilizing on deciduous trees. So you would fertilize now as it's getting ready to go dormant?
Yeah, in the fall, it really helps with recovery. Fall is when I like to do a lot of different flowering trees, the jacarandas, any of your flowering shrubs. And that's a good time of year for that. We do ash. We do the pecans and pistache in the fall and again in the spring. And we just help them. You know, you get get some recovery and get the nutrient into them in the fall. In the spring, you just give them a boost to get them going for the season.
Do you guys do a lot of phosphorus for the blooms for the spring, or do you do more potassium to help them over the winter, or what are you looking for with your product?
Savatree formulates their own products, and I don't recall what's the formulation of the different ones, but they work everything according to what the needs of the plant are. So
I always like asking questions of other people, because
my big famous one, though, or the one I'm most happy with, is the Arbor Kelp, and that application is harvested from the North Atlantic, and they add in humic acid, amino acids, and Biozone, which is naturally occurring microbes that fight pathogens.
Yeah.
And then we put the citrus pH reducer in with it, and a KP Restore, which is like an organic matter, and it's all in a formulation, and it's great for the desert trees, any of the legumes that don't really need the nitrogen.
So. Yeah. Okay. You know, if Arbico's listening out there, you need to develop a bug that will eat the nutsedge nuts, because I'm having the worst trouble with nutsedge. And I was thinking today, what could I put down organically to kill nutsedge? Because I got the nutsedge coming up in my rye mix, and it just drives me nuts. And I'm thinking, if there was just a boar or a grub that would just eat nutsedge, that would be perfect.
Well, it's cut the head off the snake, you pull it out, and man, it's just little fibers just spread all underground, and nutsedge is just a tough one. We have like a three applications a year that we try to use to apply nutsedge treatments.
Yeah, and depending on what fertilizers you use, there's some fertilizer products that thing loves, and it just goes nuts. But you know, one of the things about those applications is I have conversations with customers all the time, because if you read the label, you're not supposed to apply it before it's 90 degrees, and you got to do it, you know, you're supposed to let it grow for a day after you mow it. So for us as a maintenance contractor, we can't really apply it while we're there on a regular visit. So we have to send somebody on an off day to do it. And then on top of that, we have to do it early in the morning, because once you hit, 90, you're supposed to stop. It's not going to work. So it is one of those real scheduling difficult ones.
Well, we're lucky, because the sedges are all going to go dormant now, and they won't pop back up. Well, they're probably still there, but they do slow their growth in the winter. Yeah. So that's more of a summer application process.
Yeah, nighttime temps are supposed to be down in the 50s here next week, I believe. So that'll be great. I'll be glad to see that nut sedge go to bed.
And going to bed, if you don't do a rye lawn and you put down pre-emergent, is that going to keep it from coming back next summer?
It won't help with the nutsedge, but it will help with a lot of others. But you can continue to do the product she's talking about, because the other thing about nutsedge is you have to, all the expensive chemicals that kill it don't work before the summer solstice, because before the summer solstice, they're just partying, putting on growth. You know, after the summer solstice, it's like, oh, we got to retire here in a little bit. We better start saving. So then they use all the nutrient to go into that nut, and that's when that chemical really works. So if you can apply the chemical now, you're going to get a better kill on those nuts. But it does take at least 3 or 4 applications to do it. And the other thing is, you're supposed to be waiting like 6 weeks in between applications too, which very few people really actually read the whole label, and people are spraying it out there all the time. You know, I spray this every week and it's just not dying. I don't get it.
All right, final segment coming up, and talk about one of my favorite topics. We'll actually be planting trees.